Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask God to bless His word to our hearts this morning. Father, we thank You today for this privilege of coming back to the house of God one more time, this side of eternity. And Father, I pray now that You would bless the word of God to our hearts, meet our needs. We have souls that, Lord, we just must be fed with food from heaven. We need that heavenly manna, Lord. We just can't make it. We need it. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts, and we who are Your children, may You feed us with that heavenly manna today that might strengthen us by might in the inner man. And have Your way, Lord, in our lives. Somebody here not saved, somebody far from Thee, I pray that they may come down this aisle and get right with Thee today. Blessing the children's churches and the other buildings, and bless over there as the word of God is planted in the hearts and lives of our boys and girls. Now give me power, and Lord, help and give me liberty as I preach Your word today. And Lord, defeat the devil and hindering spirits, and we'll thank You in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Amen. One of the greatest problems facing a professing Christian is doubt. Now, Webster defines doubt as being uncertainty of belief or opinion, lack of confidence, inclination not to believe or accept. Now, there are many areas of spiritual doubt. First of all, one great area of spiritual doubt is to doubt the existence of God. The Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. And really, God was there before there ever was a beginning. In the beginning, there was a God, and this God then created the heavens and the earth. And so, brother, we're in trouble if we don't believe those first few words of Genesis, in the beginning, God. I'm glad I have no trouble in believing that there is a God. And by the way, if you don't believe there's a God, that you don't dethrone God. He's there where you or I believe Him or not. Then also some people have some trouble believing that the Bible's the Word of God. I believe the Bible from cover to cover. Don't understand it all, but I believe it all. I believe the Bible is God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I don't believe you're saved if you don't believe this is God's Word. Because that's not God's Word. We have no revelation from God. We're on a merry-go-round. I just believe it's God's Word. Bible is given by the inspiration of God. Then there are people who doubt the goodness and the love of God. When trials come and tribulations come, people get bitter and doubt that God is a good God and doubt His love. But the Bible says God is love. He's love personified. That God is a good God. And all good, never forget this truth, all good in this world is of God, and all of the evil and all the bad can be laid at the doorstep of Satan and sin. God had a perfect world, until man rebelled against God and Satan come on the scene, tempting man to disobey God. God said now, in the day you disobey me, in the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. Satan tempted Eve, and man fell into sin. And all evil and all sin and all that is bad in the world is of the devil and because of sin. Then somehow some doubts about the virgin birth. I hadn't even heard of the virgin birth when I got saved. But I'll tell you this, as soon as I heard about it, I believed it. And if God is God, the virgin birth is no trouble with God. I just don't believe you can be saved and not believe the virgin birth. If you don't believe the virgin birth, you don't have a divine Savior. And I don't understand it, but I just believe it because the Bible teaches it. But the area that I want to deal with today of doubt is in the area of salvation. I want to deal this morning with the doubting of whether one is really saved or not. I've heard a lot of people say that I have never doubted one time since I got saved that I was really saved and on my way to heaven. Dr. Oliver B. Green, I read one of his books and on about his testimony. He said that he'd been saved for many years and he never doubted one time whether he's saved or not. Now that's a wonderful thing to be able to say. And if you can say that, thank God for it. But there's a lot of good saints of God, a lot of born-again people that sometimes the devil will bother them or things will bother them and they'll really doubt whether they really got saved or not. I heard Dr. Harold Seitler say one time that most Christians, that be honest, would have to admit that there has come a time or times in their life when they doubted. In my opinion, probably most genuinely saved, born-again people, at some time or another in their life, there'll come that question to their mind, am I really saved? Now, we shouldn't be proud of our doubts. And we should be ashamed when we doubt God. Isn't it a terrible thing to just doubt God? It's a wicked sin for us to doubt God. But we ought to face the problem of doubt squarely. And the Lord, many and probably most of God's children, those who have been born again, would testify that the Lord has led them through dark periods of doubt and led them out to real victory over their doubts. And so let's look at the problem of doubt this morning that afflicts, I think, most of God's children at some time or the other. First of all, let's look at the cause of doubt. Let me give you a few reasons why professing Christians would doubt their salvation. I believe, first of all, one of the common causes of doubt is people trust their feelings rather than faith. Now, I love to be blessed. When I come to God's house, I'm always a candidate to be blessed. I'd hate to go to church and never did get my soul blessed. I would hate to do that. I don't care, but I don't know about you. But brother, when I come to God's house, I'm looking for food for my soul and a blessing for my soul. But you know, feelings are a poor foundation to base the salvation of your never-dying soul on. Feelings are murky waters. And feelings will vary according to circumstances. Well, you might eat too much pecan pie and ice cream right before you go to bed at night, and you'll have a miserable night. You roll and toss, and there those pecans just knocking up on your stomach. And you don't feel too safe when you roll all night with a good case of indigestion. But see, the way you feel doesn't affect where you're saved or not. Now, you men, after you have a good argument with your wife, you don't feel too good and safe for a while, do you? Now, come on, just fess up now. I mean, you don't have a good knock-down, drag-out argument with your wife and say, glory, I'm glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. Now, you don't either, Ellen. Don't look at me that way. Well, what I'm trying to get you to see is you can't, a lot of times your body is going to feel so bad when you're maybe in the hospital and you won't feel too good, but you just can look up and say, Lord, I'm thankful I'm saved. And your faith and not your feelings. And so we're not saved. The Bible does not say one word about your feelings and salvation. It's based clearly on faith in what God says in His Word. Salvation is just saying, Lord, you said it, and I believe it. And your faith saves you. For Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's turn to Romans, the third chapter. I want to show you a verse that's helped me in this matter of salvation. Romans 3, verse 26. Romans 3, page 1195. You have an old Scofield reference Bible. Romans 3, 26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just. See, God's a just God, and God's not going to save you and do violence to His justice and His holiness. Now, how can God save you and not do violence to His justice and holiness? Okay, He is a justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, do you see it? It's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. Christ paid the debt for us on Calvary's cross. He died for us and died for sin, died for sinners, died in our place, and when we trust Jesus, see, God pardons us from our sins. And so therefore, we are declared just in God's sight when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So folks, it's not how you feel. It's what God says, that you've been declared just. You are just in God's sight when you believe on Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of other things that I could say that causes doubt, and I could spend a lot of time on it. Let me just quickly go through this sermon today. I want to try to cover everything I want to tell you today because it's so important. A lot of people are in the quagmire of doubt, and I want to help you today. But listen, probably if you're doubting, it's you're trusting your feelings rather than faith. Just forget your feelings. Look up to God and say, Lord, I'm taking you at your word. I'm trusting Jesus. I'm believing on Him. The Bible says if you do, you're saved. That's the way to get victory over doubt. Just trusting what God's not going to lie to you. And you can trust Him. Let me just move on off that. Then another cause of doubt is false religious experience. People are trying. I've known people say, I had this vision or I had this dream. You don't get saved by visions and dreams, folks. You know, no vision, no dream going to save you. People are trusting an experience, some emotional experience. There, a lot of people say, I got saved because I walked the aisle at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church or some other church. Walking that aisle won't save you. And a church membership, your church membership doesn't impress God. I believe in church membership, but not for salvation. That's after salvation. After you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and trust in Him for your salvation. And then baptism. A lot of people are trusting baptism, the ritual of baptism for their salvation. But real Bible salvation cannot be based on feeling. Neither can real Bible salvation satisfying salvation that satisfies your soul and gives you hope beyond this veil of tears. It cannot be based on some religious experience or some ritual. The only way you can have blessed assurance that you are a born-again child of God is just to say, I'm trusting Jesus and Him alone for the salvation of my soul. Not that I'm good, or not that I'm a preacher, or not that I'm a deacon, or not that I'm a professing Christian, or not that I give in the offering plate, or not that I do this, or not that I don't do that, but I'm trusting Jesus and Him alone and nothing else. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. So, you need to settle it once and for all that I'm trusting Christ and Him alone. But the Word of God says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power, the right, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So, folks, you've got to trust Jesus, and you've got to take Him at His word. Then another cause of doubt is sin in the heart and life. I don't believe a Christian can live a worldly life and live like the world and dress like the world and act like the... And by the way, you ought to look like a Christian the way you dress. Summer's coming on, and you ought not dress like a prostitute this summer and go around showing your nakedness. You can throw the songbooks at me if you want to. It's still true. Christian ought to dress like a Christian. Nothing wrong with a Christian dressing like a Christian, is there? I better not deal too much with that. I've got so much more to say here this morning. But I believe, folks, a Christian ought to live like a Christian. And we ought to stay out of the hell holes of the world. And I ought to smell like a Christian. And I believe that a person cannot, if a Christian, a professing Christian, is not living a dedicated Christian life, faithful to the Lord, I believe there are open season for the devil to get you to doubt. I just can't believe a Christian can live a worldly life and not be faithful to God's house without having a boxcar load of doubts in their heart and life. I just don't believe it. We should live a separated life so that we can stay close to the Lord and have fellowship with the Lord. Now, sin in the life of the believer will rob us of the presence and blessing of God. That's why I say, Christian, live for Jesus. Live a pure life so you can have fellowship with Him. A psalmist said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. The Lord will not hear me. So if a Christian has sin in their life, they can't get a prayer through to God, and they'll wonder because they can't get a prayer through, am I really saved, you see? So sin in the heart and life will lead to doubt. Then failure to pray and read God's Word daily is another cause of doubt. Brother Harry was telling me about a preacher who fell into sin. And I won't go into details about that. But one of the things Brother Harry was telling me, he admitted that he quit reading his Bible and praying. Now, folks, that's the first step down to spiritual defeat and doubt, is to quit reading the Word of God and praying every day. A Christian who does not read the Word and pray is a Christian who's walking far from God. And if they don't fall into wicked sin, brother, they're a prime candidate for doubt. So prayer and feasting on the Word of God, when you do that, doubt will evaporate like an ice cube out in the middle of a noonday sun. The Word of God and prayer will cause doubts to evaporate. Then I'm convinced that a born-again child of God, that when a born-again child of God gets to doubting his or her salvation, I believe it's an attack of Satan. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Folks, there's a loose devil out there. And also he might be in here getting you to not receive the Word of God and get you to reject and resist Satan deals in the slimy area of doubting God. And listen, he is wanting you to doubt your salvation. So if you are bothered with doubts today, it more than likely is an attack of Satan on your soul to devour you. Satan, I read in Genesis 3 there, Satan started getting people to doubt God 6,000 years ago in the garden when he whispered in Mother Eve's ear, And he said, hath God said? He created the seed of doubt. And I believe that Satan has whispered doubt in the heart and mind and soul of millions of God's children down through the years. So if you're going through a time of doubt, it may be and probably is an attack of Satan, and there's only one way to defeat him, and that's through the Word of God. Just stick that word right up the devil's nose and say, look here, Mr. Satan, look at what God says in his word. And he'll have to get out of there. Then another cause of doubt is profession without possession. Many people have walked an aisle in a church. They have joined a church. They have been baptized, and they have been religious people and been pretty good people, but many in our churches have never really been born again. You know what? They've missed God. They've missed God. They know not the Lord, and they doubt their salvation, even though they're church members, because they've never had a spiritual birth. Folks, we've got to have spiritual birth. Real salvation is spiritual birth. Nothing more, nothing less. You must be born again. Brother Willard Tallman, Brother Mays, last Sunday, I believe it is, or during revival, mentioned Brother Willard Tallman. Brother Mays and I drove up to have lunch with Brother Willard because he is getting on up in years and very sick. And he said, boys, let me tell you this. He said, when we get to the judgment, you're going to find out that 75 to 90% of our church members are not saved. Isn't that sad? Now, I'm hoping that he's wrong with our church. I'm hoping he's way off. I'm hoping that is wrong. But, folks, I am deeply concerned. Listen to me. I'm deeply concerned that so many members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church show no signs whatsoever of being indwelt by God's Spirit, and they show no signs of ever being born again. What a terrible thing it would be to die and go to hell right out of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, I know that's pretty pointed preaching. I know it. But folks, you're going to die someday, and this preacher is going to give an account to God. If you come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and sit here and die and you're lost and go out into eternity without God, I'm here to tell you as your preacher, you got to know Jesus. You got to get born again. If you don't, if you're not born again, you miss Christ and you're going to miss heaven. You must be born again, Jesus said. So those are some of the, there's other areas of doubt I could mention. But let me just mention some of the consequences of doubt. I've mentioned the causes. People doubt their salvation, basing it on, they go by feelings, false religious experience, sin in their lives, no prayer and Bible reading, an attack of Satan. And people doubt because they've never been born again a lot of times. So we need to examine ourselves. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt your salvation. But if you are doubting your salvation, you ought to search to see and examine yourself, were you really be in the faith or not. But let's notice some consequences of a child of God doubting whether they're saved or not. First of all, there's mental anguish. Doubt brings torment. It brings agony. Doubt is horrible. 4 or 5 years ago, I thought I had lung cancer. And I got to thinking, well, maybe I only have just a few months to live. So I've been through the last 4 or 5 years, 2 or 3 bad health experiences. Thank God when I had my heart catheterization, the Lord, I didn't go through an awful period of doubt like I did back when I had my lung problem 4 or 5 years ago. But when I thought, well, I may have lung cancer, all those spots may be cancer, and I've only got a few months to live. I got scared, and then I got to thinking, well, because I'm scared to die, I'm scared to death that maybe I'm not even saved. And I come up here and I brought my Bible. I'd locked the door so none of you could hear me, and I'd sing and pray and I'd repent and try to get saved. And you know what? I couldn't get saved. You know why? I was already saved. It's the hardest thing in the world to get saved when you're already saved. Do you ever try to get saved and you're already saved? Just try it sometime. Why, finally, I said, well, Lord, you're in control. And if I have lung cancer and a tumor and only have another few months or a year or so to live, or if everything's okay and I have 15 or 20, 25 more years to live, Lord, either way, I accept your will. Whatever it is, I know it'll be best. And as soon as I said that, Lord gave me peace and my doubts evaporated. So if you're doubting this morning, I have sympathy for you. I know where you're coming from. I know what you're going through with. But I know this morning too, there's help from the Lord for your doubt. He's able to deliver us from tormenting doubts. Then let me quickly give you some other consequences of doubt. Doubt will there are nothing discourage you any more than doubt. Than doubt. You get to doubting and it won't be long till you'll just throw up your hands and say, well, what's the use? So doubt will lead you to discouragement. Then doubt will render you powerless. When a person starts doubting their salvation, they'll be powerless in serving the Lord. They'll be powerless when they open the Word. They'll be powerless in prayer. When you doubt God, you rob yourself of God's power. So faith will turn on the switch of God's power, and doubt will turn off the switch of God's power in your life. Then another consequence of doubt is the loss of God's presence. We cannot enjoy sweet communion with the Lord and have a heart filled with doubt and fear. Then also, doubt will lead to defeat. When a person lingers and goes on in doubt, that person will eventually become a defeated person. Listen, if you're filled with doubts today, you ought to deal with that doubt honestly and squarely. If not, if you go on in your doubts, you will become a spiritual dropout. And you know, that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. But I'm glad there's hope for those who are saved and who are going through a period of doubt. You ought to decide today, by God's help, I'm going to come out of my slough of doubt. I'm going to turn from my doubts. Preacher, what is the cure for doubt? Let me just mention two simple cures this morning for doubt. First of all, I've already mentioned it numbers of times. Turn to the Word of God. Turn to the Word of God. Satan hates that book. And that book, there's only one cure for your doubt, and that is the Word of God. Just turn to the Word of God. In Matthew 4, three times the devil tempted Jesus to do foolish things. Satan came to the Lord and he said, Lord, the Lord was hungry. He'd been fasting 40 days and nights. He said, you're hungry. Why don't you turn those stones to bread? Then the devil took the Lord up on top of the church house. And he tempted the Lord to commit suicide and jump off the church house. Then he tempted the Lord to fall down and worship him. Now, how did Jesus defeat the devil? He defeated him with the Word of God. The Word of God. Three times Jesus said, Satan, it is written. It is written. It is written. And what did Satan have to do when the Lord fed him the Word of God? He had to stick his tail between his legs and slink off like a whipped dog. The Bible says, then the devil leaveth him, and the angels came and ministered unto him. You will get victory over doubt the same way the Lord got victory over the devil, and that is through the Word of God. Get in the Word. Stay in the Word until your doubts are gone. God's Word believed will dissolve all doubts in your heart and mind. Now, don't forget that God loves you, folks. When you're going through doubts, God loves you. God loves you. Let me ask you this question. When you got saved, did you trust Jesus and Him alone for your salvation? Did you? Then listen to God's Word. I've already quoted John 1:12. But as many as received Him, God's Word says, to them gave He the power, the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Listen to what God's Word says in Acts 16:30 and 31. The flipping jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So we need to take our stand on the Word of God. You say, well, what if I wasn't? I've heard people say, well, what if I wasn't sincere? Or what if the Lord, what if God wasn't in it? I've heard such things when I believe. Well, let me take, for instance, when I perform a marriage ceremony here, that couple will, the bride will come down the aisle. She'll meet her bridegroom here. They'll come up here on the platform. They've already signed the wedding license. And I asked them, will you? And he wilted. And I said, will you? And she wilted too. And when they both say, I do. Now, folks, in the eyes of the state of Tennessee, they're both married. You say, well, what if they weren't sincere? It doesn't enter into it. They're both married legally in the eyes of the state of Tennessee. Well, what if they really didn't mean it? They're still married anyway. Now, you need to get the same idea. God says in His Word, now, naturally, you have to be sincere and mean it. But you say, well, I don't know if I'm sincere enough. Well, listen, that's beside the point. If you say, Lord, I know I'm lost. I need a Savior. I believe on You to save my soul. Right then, God has committed Himself in the Word of God to saving your never-dying soul. So you need to anchor your soul on the Word of God. That's a cure for doubt. Then another thing is you need to turn to the Lord. Turn back to the Lord. The joy bells in your soul, if you've gone on in doubt very long, the joy bells in your soul have gone silent, haven't they? As old Uncle Bud Robinson, the Nazarene evangelist, used to say, the birds quit singing in my soul. And maybe the birds have quit singing in your soul because doubt has come in. Why don't you just come to Christ today and settle those doubts and say, Lord, I'm going to believe Your Word. Lord, I'm going to trust You and You alone for the salvation of your never-dying soul. Why don't you say that today? Don't go on in your doubt. The psalmist said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me out of all my troubles. There's many people could stand up here today and say, yes, preacher, I've gone through doubt, and the Lord helped me. The Lord delivered me. Don't go on in your doubt. Get it settled. Don't go on. The burden is too heavy to bear. Don't go on in your doubt. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I realize that many of you may not be doubting your salvation, but the Lord laid that message on my heart because there's somebody today, I'll guarantee you, probably many in this auditorium who are filled with doubt about your soul salvation. You need to get those things settled, or you're finished as a productive, healthy Christian. You need to settle those doubts today. Maybe you've never been saved. You need to come and settle that today. Maybe there's some other spiritual need in your life. You are saved, but you need to rededicate your life, or maybe you need to join the church, whatever it is. Whatever God's speaking to you about today, you ought to obey the Lord. How many of you can say, preacher, I'm glad that I can say that I am trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone